Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Each week, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation. Makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. This is Jimmy Wallington, opening the doors of your Radio Hall of Fame, which today on its first anniversary on the air comes to you from Hollywood. Today's lineup includes Bob Burns, Gloria DeHaven, Carlos Ramirez, the King Sisters, and of course, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. And now, as our guest master of ceremonies, we have a young man who parlayed a Yale education and a couple of dancing feet into a shining career on Broadway. From there, he was shanghaied to the West Coast, where he has become one of filmdom's most personable and talented stars. Here he is, that Connecticut Yankee from MGM's court, George Murphy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much, Jim Wallington. On behalf of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, I'd like to welcome the Philco Show to California.
Oh, George, you forgot to say sunny California.
Oh, yes, yes, I did. Well, welcome to sunny California, but don't sell your overcoat.
Well, does it really get that bad?
No, but we do get unusual weather now and then, and you have to be prepared for it. You know, fog, drizzle, rain, sun, cold wind.
All in the same season?
Brother, I'm talking about the same afternoon.
Well, we're all happy to be here anyway. And here in the luxurious Earl Carroll Theater in Hollywood, illuminated by the presence of many celebrities of screen and radio, and with the welcome addition of numerous Philco dealers who have come here especially for the occasion, Philco is celebrating our first anniversary on the air of your Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes, and Jimmy, incidentally, I met some of those Philco dealers. Very strange guys, very peculiar. When they shake hands with you, they don't ask you your name. First thing they want to know is whether you're AC or DC. But, Jim, I think we've been prancing around this starting gate here long enough. Let's get things rolling.
Okay.
You know, when four kings turn out to be four queens, no wonder that a jack-of-all-trades like me gets a little gaga, if you follow me. But these kings, the four king sisters, are really four queens of song. They're one of the ace quartets in the country. They're good enough to be in demand by many of our leading movie studios. They've appeared in lots of pictures. Their recordings sell like the proverbial wildfire. They are what might be called the shortcake and whipped cream of the jukebox trade, right up there with the leaders. Now the King Sisters will deal out with one of their latest record sensations, the Trolley Song.
Jolly hour on the trolley, but I lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yell, so I counted to ten, then I counted to ten again. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Ding, ding, ding went my heartstrings. For the moment I buzz, buzz, buzz with the buzzer. Flop, flop, flop with the wheel. Stop, stop, stop with my heartstring. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine. And it felt so divine, I stopped counting at nine. And he went all the way with me to the end of the line.
Nice work with those lovely vocal cords, King Sisters. Say, that song is one of a number you've recorded, isn't it?
Yes, Jimmy. As the hip cats would say, we put that patter on a platter.
And you send it solid, sister. Yes, the popularity of their phonograph records is just one of the reasons why the King Sisters were chosen for your Radio Hall of Fame. Perhaps you have some of their records and those of other Hall of Fame stars in your own collection. And today you can look forward to even greater enjoyment of those records, thanks to new developments by Philco engineers. Of course, you know how Philco pioneered in modernizing the phonograph. No need was to change. Greater beauty of tone. More lifelike performance. Longer record life. Easier operation. Such past achievements by Philco engineers, along with their brilliant wartime discoveries in electronics, are your guarantee of a better radio phonograph after victory. With your new Philco radio phonograph, you'll hear your favorite records with new fidelity, just as if you were in the recording studio. You'll enjoy all the fine shadings of tone, from deep, mellow bass to brilliant treble, with glorious overtones you never heard before. You'll marvel at the new features for easy operation, the gorgeous modern cabinets, the greater values in every price range. Yes, you'll see and hear the new radio phonograph you want to own at the store of your Philco dealer when victory is won.
Oh, Paul.
Yes, George.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman. Well, Paul, allow me to welcome you to California.
Oh, thank you, George. It's swell being here. It allows me to get together with old friends. Like Bing Crosby. Just think, Bing got his start with me, and yesterday I saw him for the first time in years.
Ah, that must have been a meeting filled with sentiment. You with your slender waistline and Bing with his bushy toupee. What was the first thing you asked Bing?
Whether he could sell me some cheese without perch.
Well, Paul, things have certainly picked up for the Groener since the days of the old Rhythm Boys. Bing is a big producer now.
I didn't know that.
I guess you haven't been in his nursery lately.
No, but the first thing Big did was take me out to the Hollywood racetrack to show me his stable.
And what happened?
Three of the horses ran away. They thought I was the new jockey.
Well, that's the first time on record that a Crosby horse has been known to run. However, Bing certainly is a nice guy.
Has he ever given you a tip on one of his horses?
Yes, but I still say he's a nice guy.
George, I don't like to say this, but have you any idea just how old some of Bing's horses are?
Well, Paul, to tell you the truth, I have a slight idea. Yesterday, I saw the trainer feeding one of them Serutan through a straw. But speaking of age, Paul, how about whipping out one of your now-and-then operas?
All right, George, we'll take a crack at I Never Knew. First, exactly as we played it at the old Pally Royal in 1922. And now our modern version of the same number.
Delightful, really charming. Now, one of the reasons your Radio Hall of Fame made its long trek to California was to install as a worthy tenant a man who never came further east than Van Buren, Arkansas. Neither snow, nor sleet, nor distance will prevent Philco from giving the nod to all and sundry talent, including top-notch comedians, as selected by you, the listener. So here he is, direct from the orange-picking season in Pomona, the only man ever known to play a musical instrument with such deadly effect that the Army named one of its own most deadly instruments after it, the virtuoso of the bazooka, and incidentally the rifle champion of the first AEF in 1917, Bob Burns. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you, folks, and thank you, George. George, I wonder if you feel the same way I do and appreciate the honor it is to be here today at the anniversary of the Philco Hall of Fame. And while I'm here and talking to them, I want to congratulate the Philco people on the wonderful scientific improvements they've made on the bazooka. Honestly, I think that new bazooka they made is, it's pretty near as deadly as the original. Now that I know most of you know what wonderful inventions the Philco people have made for the war effort, but I think they'll tell you later on, if they haven't already done so, that they have some wonderful innovations for the housekeepers for the post-war world. Like refrigerators. Oh, that is a dandy. And I've got an idea that I'm going to give them and ain't going to charge them anything for it because I'm just a natural humanitarian. You know yourself, when they so many people replace the old-fashioned ice box for the electric refrigerators, there wasn't no ice man anymore. And you know, the cook got lonesome. It left a void in the cook's life. And I'm thinking of the cook when I'm giving them this idea of mine. That's a refrigerator that will squeeze the cook's hand every time she closes the door. Now then, I'm working on I'm an inventor. I'm working on another idea I'm going to take up with my sponsor. That is a silent foghorn. That's for people who already use Lifebuoy. And I've got another one for my sponsor that I think will be one of the greatest innovations for the housewife that I could possibly think of. That is a bar of soap that's hollow in the center. That's so when you use it all up, there ain't no little pieces left over. Now, I know a lot of you are surprised to find that I've got a scientific mind like that, but I got it naturally. It runs in my family. I've got one scientific uncle. I honestly believe if he'd had a chance in the modern world, he would have been one of the greatest scientists the world has ever known. That's my Uncle Phil Cohink. Now, Uncle Hank was a natural-born scientist. He was always performing experiments. I remember one time back in Van Buren, there was a great big rock that overhung the edge of the mountain overlooking Van Buren. Uncle Hank went up to that mountain with crowbars and picks and shovels, and he started prying away at that big stone, trying to get it loose. He worked on the thing for 27 days. Finally, he pried it loose. This big stone come down the mountain, knocking over trees and barns. It hit Van Buren. It went through Carl Brody's harness shop, rolled across Main Street, and went right through the Citizens Bank. Knocked a big hole in it. All the citizens of the town gathered around this hole and started peeking in there. Here come Uncle Hank down the mountainside just as hard as he could tear. He says, "Get out of the way, boys. I got to get in there." He says, "I'm performing an experiment." So he went into this bank and he knelt down and he looked at this stone all over from top to bottom. Finally, he got up and he says, "Well, that's right. No moss." Now then, what could that man have done if he'd had all the scientific instruments, you know, to measure things by? He used to make his own liquor back there in the hills, and he used to make it in a holler stump. And he'd go out there and watch that. He didn't have no test tubes or no fancy things like litmus paper and things like that, the scientific instruments. He used to watch that, though, and he never took a drop of that liquor until he had given it the horseshoe test. That's the only implements he had. I'll tell you how he did it. Now, he'd drop the horseshoe over in this liquor. If it sunk to the bottom, it wasn't ready yet. If it floated around on top, it was all right to drink. But if it curled up and jumped out, he knew he had something. You know, Uncle Hank was working for a long time there. They didn't, in Crawford County, down at the courthouse, they didn't have no fancy instruments to tell what the weather was going to be, to forecast the weather. And so he knew, though, that animals have a way, kind of a sixth sense of knowing what the weather's going to be. So what'd he do? With his patience and skill, he got an ordinary donkey. And he taught that donkey to drop his ears when it was going to rain. And when the weather was going to be pretty, his ears would stand up. He put that donkey right out in the middle of the Crawford County Courthouse yard, where everybody that went by there could look at that donkey and tell what the weather's going to be. Well, after he'd stood out there for 14 years and people got to depend on him, finally, just last year at a meeting of the County Board of Supervisors, they figured that the donkey had come in so handy and was indispensable, and they voted to give $35 a month for that donkey. And I want to tell you something about human nature, folks. Do you know that ever since the word got out that it paid $35 a month, every jackass in Crawford County has been trying to get the job? Now then, we're talking tonight. It seems to be kind of scientific night here. And so just to show you the improvement that's been made, I'm going to play my bazooka tonight. I got it here, and I've been... That's it. It's made out of two pieces of gas pipes and an old whiskey funnel. And you'll be surprised when you hear the music I get out of this thing. Sounds almost exactly like the music you'd expect out of two pieces of gas pipe, the old whiskey. Now then, I've been waiting for Paul Whiteman. He's been coming up in the world, too. He's been growing. And I played with him way back there in 1920 in New York City. Today, he's built his orchestra up to 80 men. Think what an orchestra that is. But, Paul, I'm sorry this means so much to me that right now that the moment is here, I don't feel like sharing my glory with 80 men. So if you don't mind, Paul, I'll just use your piano player. Will you please play I Ain't Got Nobody?
Robin Burns, thank you, and please don't go away, stick around. We'll need you later. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood is the place that gave birth to such words as colossal, superb, glamorous, demure, divine, etc., and all the rest of them. Now, you put those words all together, and you will have a slight idea of our next guest on the Radio Hall of Fame. She deserves your sighs and heavy breathings, not only because she's one of the most beautiful bundles from our celluloid heaven, but also because she comes from one of the theater's best-loved families, the Carter DeHavens. Now I want you to meet their contribution, Gloria DeHaven. Well, hello, Gloria, darling.
Hello, George.
Well, what do we talk about?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, you know, but I... don't dare in front of all these people.
Oh, there you go again, George. Every time I see you, it's the same old thing. Love, love, love.
Delightful rut, isn't it? Anyway, can you blame me? The last time we made a picture together, if you remember, you were my kid sister.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I had to treat you like a brother. I was jealous when I heard that you made that picture with Frank Sinatra. Oh, and you had that love scene where you held him up in your arms. Oh, it was delightful. And then you kissed dear old Frankie.
Oh, that's nothing.
I know he is, but that's beside the point. Why wouldn't you be in a picture with me where I could be my normal romantic self?
Because I understand your romantic self isn't so normal.
Oh, sure, that's just a vicious rumor.
Dame Mae Whitty doesn't lie.
Say, has that kid been talking again? Oh, forget about it. What has Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer got you doing now, Gloria?
Well, I just finished The Thin Man Goes Home.
Another one with Sinatra, huh?
No, George. This is a mystery. It's a weird, fantastic tale about a man who is walking on the brink of disaster, not knowing whether he's alive or dead.
So you are making another picture with Frankie. This is the end, the bitter end, and you better sing, Gloria. I can't stand it. Maestro?
The moon's got me, and the stars have also got me for good this time. No turning back, 'cause I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me.
That a beautiful child.
My golly, she's just as sweet as she is pretty, too. And now, Philco stretches out its antenna to include in your radio hall of fame a young man from Colombia, South America. His rich baritone voice passed the acid test in a picture called Bathing Beauty. His songs attracted more attention than all the strapless bathing suits in the picture, it says here. And so we move over and we make room at this time with a great deal of pleasure in the Radio Hall of Fame for Carlos Ramirez. Well, welcome to our little gathering, Carlos.
Gracias, Señor Murphy. Gracias.
Aha, listen to that gracias. Gee, you're so Spanish. You know, I'll bet when you sing shortened bread, it comes out an enchilada.
Not quite, but sometimes I think I'm too Spanish. I don't know how to meet a girl in this country.
Oh, you don't know how to meet a girl? Well, now, wait a minute. How do you meet a señorita in Colombia?
First, you have to send flowers to her duenna.
Oh, to the duenna.
After this, you are formally introduced to all her cousins, uncles, and aunts.
Big family.
Then, the father passes on you.
I see.
If this is all right, you meet the mother.
Uh-huh.
And then, it's up to her if you can call the girl or not. What are the formalities in Hollywood?
Well, here it's a little different, you see. It starts out... Hiya, babe. See, all you need is a whistle and some sen-sen, and you're 90% all set. Now, Carlos, to get away from the lighter things, get to the more serious things, how about a song? Would you sing one for us?
All right. Here is a song I sang in Bathing Beauty. Magic in the Moonlight.
Oh, sing it, Carlos.
Quiero, dijiste, tomando mis manos entre tus manitas de blanco marfil y sentí en mi pecho un fuerte latido. Después un suspiro y luego el chasquido de un beso febril. Muñequita linda de cabellos de oro, de dientes de perlas, labios de rubí, dime si me quieres, como yo te adoro, si de mí te acuerdas, como yo de ti. Y a veces escucho un eco divino, envuelto en la brisa, parece como entonces, siempre hasta
Carlos, look, now, if you got your breath back, how about an encore? Would you do it?
If you say so, I would like to sing a song, a vendor song. I call it Rica Pulpa. I hope you like it.
Oh, I know we're going to like it. Sing it.
Rica Pulpa de tamarindo, la traigo y este pulpero en su tablero para vender.
¡Ea! ¡Sobre, negrito! ¡Vámonos de aquí!
Al salir, niña hermosa, a escuchar mi pregón, luces como una rosa de las muchas que engalanan su balcón. ¡Pulpa! ¡Rica pulpa! Es mi pulpa más sabrosa que la miel. Y cual la pulpa de los labios que curaron mis agravios. Con la pulpa doy mi cartera, endulzando yo la Habana entera con el azúcar de mi pulpa. Rica pulpa, es sabrosa como besos de mujer. Pulpa, rica pulpa. Ay, caserita, no me regañes, mi rica pulpa es para vender. ¡Pulpa! ¡Ea! Mi negra linda, mi caserita, mi rica pulpa es para vender. ¿Cuál la pulpa de unos labios que curaron mis agravios? Con la pulpa soy mi caldera, endulzando yo la Habana entera con el azúcar de mi pulpa. Rica pulpa, es sabrosa como besos de mujer. Pulpa, rica pulpa, como besos.
Bob Burns, there's a special reason why Philco is particularly happy to have you on our program today. Because our GIs borrowed the name you made hideous, blowing that Ozark saxophone, and they gave it to their amazing rocket gun. A two-man team with one of those bazookas developed by Army Ordnance can smash tanks, pillboxes, buildings, and bridges with its deadly rocket projectile. And this high-power projectile, well, the Philco Metal Division has played a leading part in perfecting and producing it in quantity. Yes, the same engineers who created your Philco Advanced Design Refrigerator before the war have used their ingenuity to turn out millions of potent bazooka projectiles. And those ingenious Philco engineers will be on the job when peacetime production resumes to bring you wonderful new Philco refrigerators and Philco freezer chests. Frozen storage, for instance, the feature that Philco built into your pre-war refrigerator, will be yours in improved form, plus every other modern feature you'll want for convenience and economy. Watch Philco in refrigeration after the war. Your Radio Hall of Fame continues after station identification. This is the Blue Network. You are listening to Philco's Radio Hall of Fame, which today honors Bob Burns, Gloria DeHaven, Carlos Ramirez, the King Sisters, Paul Whiteman, and this week's Master of Ceremonies, George Murphy, who again takes over.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. And right at the moment, I can't think of anything better than to call on the King Sisters once again. Because like all good jukebox favorites, they have another side, too. This time, we'll turn the platter over, and what do we find? Oh, yes, Suddenly My Heart Sings.
Remember.
Oh, that's very delightful. Thank you very much, King Sisters. Thank you. Oh, Bob Burns.
Yeah, George.
Before we break up for the evening, I thought I'd introduce you to Gloria DeHaven. This is Gloria.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Hello, Robin.
Gee, you're so pretty and young. Say, George, you think it's fair for me to marry a girl younger than me?
Well, you might as well. There are very few who are older.
Oh, George, Bob isn't so old.
Why, that's right. I've only been in Hollywood since the day Lassie come home.
Bob, you know you were here when Rin Tin Tin left.
Gloria, you know, you put me in mind of my Uncle Fudd's youngest daughter. That's my cousin Pootie. Yeah, she was the prettiest thing. She was as pretty as a sow with a litter of pigs.
Must have been a regular little honey suckling. Whatever happened to her, Bob?
Yes, what happened to her?
Well, now, she had two suitors. One of them was a city feller like George Murphy. Another was a farm boy like Paul Whiteman.
Some farm boy. Looks like a bumper crop.
Yes, sir. You know, I'll tell you, you know, Uncle Fudd was my lazy uncle. Now, I'm going to be my Uncle Fudd. I'm going to play the part of him. And Gloria, you be my daughter, Pootie. And I'd just like to show you what happened.
Well, Pop, that was a nice dinner I fixed you, wasn't it?
Some dinner. We're the only civilians who eat Spam. But never mind that. Did you wash my socks, gal?
Yeah, I washed them out pretty good. But you'll have to lie out in the sun to dry them. I couldn't get them off your feet.
You know, you're a good daughter. You've been taking care of your poor old pa now for nigh on to 16 years. How old are you?
Nigh on to 16 years.
Comes out even.
Pop, sometimes I get a feeling that you're lazy.
Oh, no, gal, I'm just tired.
Tired? Mm. But you slept all day yesterday and you slept all day today.
You think that's easy?
Well, I'm tired of taking care of you. I'm getting married.
Married? Remember what I told you about the birds and the bees?
Yep.
Did you understand about the birds and the bees?
Yep.
Well, will you explain it to me? Now, who is the feller?
Well, I got two of them, and I want you to help me decide. These are the two, George, a city feller, and Paul, a farm boy.
Mister, I want to marry your daughter.
Me too.
Well, now, boys, I got to be fair. My daughter's happiness is at stake here. I got to compare your characters, your integrity, your honesty. Now, tell me, which one of you boys got the most money?
I have. Darling, let me take you away from all this. If you marry me, I'll buy you everything your little heart desires. And then I'll take you away on an exciting romantic honeymoon.
Can I go too? I never saw Niagara Falls.
Oh, Paul, how come you don't propose to me like other fellas?
Well, if he ever got down on one knee, he'd never get up.
Well, Pop, what do you think?
Well, now, I need to meditate, gal. Hand me my cut plug. Thank you. Will you step aside there, son? Toy. Now, let me see. Now, who will it be? Toy. Will it be George the city fella or Paul the poor but honest farm boy? Toy. That's my billiard shot. Paul, do you think you can support my daughter?
Sure, I'm going to be a pilot.
All you've ever done is milk cows. What makes you think you can be a pilot?
Always been good at the controls.
Now, how about me?
I don't trust you.
But, Pop, George travels in ladies' underwear.
See what I mean?
Well, make up your mind. Which one of us is your daughter going to marry?
Neither one of you.
Well, in that case, I'll have to marry my Spanish boyfriend. Oh, Carlos. Carlos.
Yes, darling?
Hey, wait a minute, Carlos. How did you ever meet this girl?
Oh, it was easy. I just got... Hiya, baby.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fairly positive, but not exactly sure, that it's a pretty good bet. When the immortal George Gershwin wrote his song, The Man I Love, he didn't have Gloria DeHaven and Carlos Ramirez in mind. But quaintly enough, as often happens in these radio programs, this number just seems to fit in the right spot and the right spot being right here and now. So Gloria De Haven will sing that magnificent Gershwin composition, one of the most popular he ever wrote, The Man I Love.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. Then in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it sounds absurd, I know we just won't say a word. Maybe he will come on Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe none. But I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. We'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Where would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love. Someday he'll come along. When he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and he'll smile, I'll understand. And though it sounds absurd, I know he just won't say. Maybe he will come on Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe none. But I'm sure to meet him on one day, maybe Tuesday will be my new day. We'll build a little meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you. Mighty Flirty. Mighty Flirty, a beautiful song and well sung. Last year, ladies and gentlemen, I was privileged to appear on several of the Army radio programs which are broadcast exclusively to our armed forces overseas. One of these shows, Mail Call, was a salute to the servicemen from my home state of Connecticut. And for that program, Ralph Blaine and Hugh Martin, who is now in the Army himself, wrote a special song called Connecticut. Now, first, because I'd like to pay tribute to the Armed Forces Radio Service, which has done such a magnificent job of entertaining our troops, because I'd like to honor Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine, two of the finest songwriters in the business, who've just finished the score of Judy Garland's MGM picture, Meet Me in St. Louis. Lastly, because, well, I happen to like this ditty myself. So we're going to present to you now Connecticut, right now. It'll be sung by Gloria De Haven and the King Sisters, accompanied by Mr. Whiteman and his orchestra, and old Murph himself. Maybe he'll drop in on the tail end of the chorus to have a note of his own.
Connecticut,
gentle and fair. I'd be so happy if I were there, no matter where I chance to be. Connecticut is the place for me. Miss every lane, miss every hill. Even in dreams, I think of them still. When you see them, you Connecticut is the place for me. Village dreams and childhood scenes are things that I remember, yeah. Land of dreams and moonlit streams, how close to heaven can you get? Nights full of stars, hearts full of joy, paradise for a girl and a boy. I guess it suits me to a T. Connecticut is the place for me to be. Connecticut is the place for me.
Sounds like a great state for a late date with a maid waiting just for you. And every Yale guy is a male guy through and through.
Sounds like a great state.
It's never humdrum dating some chump with the thumb strumming a guitar. You'll find the chick flicker and they mix quicker by far.
Sounds like a great state.
It's thick and spanner than old Montana, and Indiana can't raise.
The nights are longer, the men are stronger, so linger longer and wait. Cause it's a great, 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 great state.
Seemed like a year. Dropped in on Juno just for a beer. Though it was nice in icy Nome, Connecticut still will be my home. Dined in Capri, thought it was swell. Sampled some wine in a Naples hotel. Though I was showed the road to Rome, Connecticut still will be my home.
Syria, Liberia
are places that I know so well. Aberdeen and Tehran are other spots that rang the bell. Circle the globe, thousands of times, seen all its wonder, known all its fine, searched it with a fine-tooth comb, find that I only have one home, sweet home, Connecticut always will be my home.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've had as much fun as I've had listening to Bob Burns, Glory to Haven, Carlos Ramirez, the King Sisters, and the one and only Paul White. Before saying goodbye, may I tell you how sincerely complimented I feel at having been selected as Master of Ceremonies for the show, which marks the first anniversary of this program. I think that Philco has, through its Radio Hall of Fame, filled a genuine need in the field of entertainment. Through it, you, the great American audience, are enabled to give public recognition to your favorites. And I assure you that this program gives the performer something really great to aim at. The artist who appears on this show is mighty proud for having been chosen. Now, this is George Murphy walking through the turnstile of your Radio Hall of Fame, leaving your curator, Jimmy Wallington, to wind up today's festivities. So good night. Good night, all.
Thank you.
Have you seen your newspaper today? Of course, you read the headlines that report the progress of our men on the fighting front. But how closely did you read and interpret the headline that reports the progress of our home front battle, the Sixth War Loan? If your community is lagging behind in its quota, and you still haven't bought your extra war bond, you have a decision to make that you can't escape. Are you content that your community should be among those who fail to do their part? Do you believe that you can leave it to your neighbors to carry your share of the burden? The one right answer to those questions will lead you to act without delay, no matter what the inconvenience or sacrifice. At least one extra war bond, over and above your regular purchases, will put you in the clear. Buy it this week without fail from your Victory volunteer. Next week, your Radio Hall of Fame, in which Bilko brings you each week the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements, honors Judy Garland and a host of others. This is Jimmy Wallington inviting you to be with us same time next Sunday when the line forms at the entrance to your Radio Hall of Fame. George Murphy, Gloria DeHaven, and Carlos Ramirez appeared on tonight's program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of 30 Seconds Over Tokyo.
This is the Blue Network.